Happy Mother's Day once again. We definitely want to celebrate and honor our ladies today, our moms, our grandmoms, our great-grandmas. But let me first say that I know Mother's Day can be painful for some. I understand this isn't a joyous occasion all the time for everybody. The pain of a recent loss of a mom or a parent makes this day tough. And we understand that. If you had an abusive mom or lived without a mom, today can be difficult as well. If you're without children or the unimaginable pain of losing a child, it could make this a really hard day. Having children living in rebellion against the things of God makes that's hurtful for a parent for sure. Or maybe you just think you haven't been a very good mom, or not being a very good mom, and that's hard as well. I assure you that you're probably doing a better job than what you think you are. I guarantee you that. So as we celebrate today, know that I'm not trying to diminish the hurt of anybody that might be struggling with this day, but we do want to celebrate our moms on this day, and if we can be of any assistance to you through any issues or any problems that you may be having, please come see us. All right, so the Bible does tell us, Ephesians 6, to honor our parents, and the Bible also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, for husbands to honor their wives. So if we could take a moment, and if you are a lady here, I'm going to embarrass you for a moment, would you please stand up? Any lady, I don't care if you're a mom or not, if you're a grandma, all ladies, stand up. We want to honor you. I still see some sitting down. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. You may have a seat. Thank you very much for all that you do. We're not quite done just yet, though. If you are a grandma, would you please stand up? All grandmas. Awesome. Thank you very much. Feel free to have a seat. I'm trying to dwindle the numbers here. If you are a great-grand, please stand up. Wow, quite a few. All right. Thank you very much. And do I dare ask, if you still have breath, if there's any great-great-grands? Oh, look at that. Here we go. All right. All right, congratulations, Carla. All right, awesome. Very good. We appreciate you. Thank you very much. Many of you have been mom-type figures to me or grandmom-type figures to me over the years, and I definitely appreciate you and appreciate all that you do for us and for the church. The plan today is to look at a list of actions that moms do for the benefit of others. I have 6 points, or they're not in any prioritized order. Number two's not better than number four. It's just kind of the way that it played out in my head. It's not an all-inclusive list. There's only 6 points, so obviously it's not everything that a mom does. And it's not an exclusive list. This isn't going to just apply to moms only. Some of the passages are just general passages that you're probably very familiar with, but I just want to simply point out that moms are great examples of some of those passages. The first 3 points are kind of geared towards the females and the ladies, and will probably take the bulk of the time. The last three are just passages in general, but hopefully you'll find that you can, no matter who you are, you can apply these points to your life. Which is the application that I'm coming to. As we come to these points, the question that I'd like you to ask yourself is, how am I doing with that? You know, so when we get there, point number one, how am I doing with that? Keeping in mind as you ask that there is forgiveness in Christ for in the areas that we fail, and that we all have room to grow. One of the most rewarding and most difficult things of preparing a lesson is It's very humbling because I got to apply all this to me first before I can apply it, ask you to apply it to you. So if I struggle with things, just know that I'm going to ask you to struggle with them as well. All right. So what are these things that moms do for the benefit of others? Grab your handout, if you would, your sermon insert in your bulletin, if you haven't already. I'll give you the fill in the blank right from the get-go, lest I forget later on. And any other notes you want to make on there, feel free to do so as well. Number one, moms speak for the benefit of others. And when I say speak, I mean they use their words to influence other people. I just figured if you're not a note taker, it'd be a lot easier to write the word speak. So moms speak for the benefit of others. The point number one, or the example number one, comes from 2 Timothy. And let me give you a couple phrases that kind of set the mood of this letter leading up into chapter 3, verse 13, where we'll pick it up. So some of the things that Paul writes to Timothy is, join with me in suffering for the gospel. Suffer hardship with me. Realize in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, verse 13 in your handout, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's not going to be easy being a servant of God then or now. Verse 14, you, however, so in other words, despite all these things, despite these challenges, continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And so who did Timothy learn from? You might say Paul, and I would say, yeah, I'll give you partial credit for that. That's a right answer. But keep in mind, Paul didn't meet Timothy until Acts chapter 16, which is Paul's second missionary journey. And Timothy is already described there as a disciple, and he's spoken of well by the other brothers in the area. So he certainly learned from Paul, but that's not the only person that he learned from. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So who do you think taught Timothy the sacred writings of Scripture? It was teaching Timothy the Bible as he was growing up. Hint, it is Mother's Day, just in case you're tuning me out already. All right. His mom. How do we know that? It's the next little excerpt you have in your handout. At the earlier in the letter, at the beginning of the letter, Paul's writing to Timothy going, man, I love you, I'm praying for you. When I think about you, one of the things I think about you is your sincere faith, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. So from childhood, Timothy's mom, his grandmom, were speaking truth to Timothy for his benefit. That's a pretty solid compliment from Paul, to be reminded of your sincere faith. I wonder what people think about when they think of me or think of you. Yeah, is that one of the first things they come up with? No, just throwing it out there. Pretty good compliment, and the credit goes to grandma and mom. God ultimately gets the credit. God is the only one who saves. God is the only one that can change a heart. But God uses people to share the truth of God's word with other people. And certainly, mom and grandma there use their words to be a great influence on Timothy, leading to salvation. Truth and knowledge and understanding doesn't save. It leads to salvation. People themselves still have to repent and trust. As my friend John often says, you can know all about the bus, you can know where the bus goes, but if you don't get on the bus, you're not getting there. All right, so it's just leading to salvation. Let me give you a few examples, great examples of moms and grandmas speaking the truth in this church. Everything from nursery workers, and I know I'll forget people, But nursery workers are often reading Bible stories to the little kids, the little babies. It's not just a playtime and keeping them quiet. I love that they're trying to make an impact in their lives early on. The children's Sunday school classes are often moms and grandmas here pouring truth into our kids. The Wednesday night club leaders, there are grandmas and great-grandmas and moms there serving on Wednesday night. Really, really appreciate all that you do. I could use my own mom, probably for a good example in every single one of these points I'm going to make. I won't do that. I'll spare you that. I'll spare you my childhood. But I do want to use her as an example in this first one, because my mom found ways to speak truth for my benefit to me. And she often used creative ways. There was a time where I was a rebellious adult, not just a child, adult. I was living my life for me, just a little bit of my testimony, rebelling against the things of God as a young adult, and had a good relationship with my parents, and they loved me and they cared for me. But my mom had found creative ways to speak truth to me, and in her bathroom, there was a plaque, a little sign that hung on the wall, and the plaque was 3 John verse 4, and it said, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth." I hear the moans. And that was my exact thought every time I would use her bathroom. It was right there. I had to see it. And I even knew it was there. Sometimes I'd try to turn away. But that was helpful in my leading to salvation because I knew my mom was proud of me. I knew she loved me. But I also knew that there was more joy that I could bring to her life if I would just surrender to the truth of God. So thanks, Mom, for making me feel bad every time I saw that plaque in your bathroom. All right, enough of my mom, but I just want to share that with you and say thanks. Next, another illustration from the Bible. How about Moses' mom? You know of Moses, a great leader of Israel, led the Israelites out of captivity, out of Egypt, into the desert, crossing through the Red Sea, Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments, you know, coming up to the Promised Land. You guys know all that. But let me help you recall a little bit from Moses' childhood, if I could, just in case you're not sure of it. When the Israelites were in Egypt, Pharaoh grew concerned about the exploding population of the Israelites. So in an attempt to control the population, he had told the Hebrew midwives, when male babies are born, kill them right there on the birthing stool. You know, kill them right there so we can control the population. Well, the midwives refused to do that. They trusted God, and they defied that order. So Pharaoh then told his own people, any baby that's born, take it and throw it in the Nile River. Now that's kind of harsh, isn't it? Doesn't that seem kind of brutal? What government would advocate killing of children? I don't know. Okay, moving on. So Moses' mom hid Moses as long as she possibly could. One day she takes this basket, you know, puts some coating on it so it doesn't sink, sticks Moses in the basket, and places him in some reeds in the Nile River. And he tells his older sister to keep watch and see what happens. And so this is from Exodus chapter 2. Let me just read you a little bit. It's not in your handout. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slaves to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister, remember Moses' sister was keeping an eye out, either playing or working, but kind of keeping an eye on things. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." pretty good gig. Most moms, if they want to stay at home, they're usually giving up income and worked out to where she gets to raise her child and get paid. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So I share all that with you just for the point of, you know, did Moses' mom have an influence on Moses? Certainly he did. Look at Hebrews, certainly she did. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. That's in your handout. This is what we're told about Moses as he grew up. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to his reward. Moses was focused on the eternal. He chose a life, a difficult life with God, rather than a life of ease without God, largely in part, probably because of the influence, the words his mom and other family members spoke into Moses' life. So thank you, moms, for your words of influence. Thank you for speaking for the benefit of others. Point number two, moms set the example for the benefit of others. They set the example for the benefit of others. Point two comes from Titus chapter 2. Paul is writing to Titus regarding structure and instruction for those who make up the church. And just so you think I'm not just, well, I am kind of singling out the women because it is Mother's Day. But there's instruction in chapter 2 for a whole bunch of people. There's instruction for what to teach to older men. There's instruction to what to teach to younger men. There's instruction of what to teach to employees. And then there's the instruction on what to teach to the older women and the younger women. I'll let you decide which category you want to fit into with the older women and the younger women. But verse 3 picks up that instruction. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior. Well, what does that mean? That means to live and act in a way God has created you to live and act. I think it's just fair to say, you know, ladies should act like ladies. And that could be difficult for some to grab a hold of. I know on the outside world that's rejected totally. But just stick with me for a minute. I'll talk more on roles of males and females coming up. So hang in there. The next one, teach older women not to be malicious gossips. Don't be a slanderer. The word, if you look it up, is just diabolos, just Satan, devil. Don't be like the devil. Don't speak evil about other people. Don't talk about others in a negative way. Don't try to destroy others by your words. Putting down others is not the way to make yourself, to lift yourself up. It's just not going to work. Don't be enslaved to much wine. If you gotta have it, that means what? You're enslaved to it. Don't be enslaved to much wine. Teaching what is good. So teach what is honorable. Teach what is noble. Maybe Lois and Eunice could provide a little insight on where to teach, what to teach, on what's good. The Bible, the sacred writings. So why is it important to give the older women these instructions? Verse 4, so that they may encourage the younger women too, and now there'll be a list for the younger ladies. So it's important for the older ladies not only to receive these instructions, but to live them out, to set the example for the benefit of the younger ladies. So younger ladies, what are you called to do? So that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. Notice the transition that's going to go on here, though. Younger ladies, as you practice these things, you are setting the example to your children or those younger than you, and you are becoming the older ladies. Right, just pointing that out, okay? So the older ladies influence the younger ladies. The younger ladies are setting that, they're living this out. They're setting that example for the younger ladies as well. Don't shoot the messenger that you're getting older. It's just, that's the text. There it is. To love their husbands, love their children. How do you love your children? How do you love your husband? If you're rightly loving God, if he's the priority, if he's number one, then your husband and your children will fall in place in that proper pecking order. Younger ladies, you're to be sensible, to be self-controlled. You've got the inner ability to process truth on the inside, and that affects how you act and what you say on the outside. That's sensible. When you have that urge to send that frying pan flying across the room to your husband and you choose not to do it, that's because why? Because you're processing truth on the inside. You know better. You might miss. You might break a window, and then that'll never get fixed. You might actually hit them, and it's going to cost a lot of money for stitches and that kind of stuff. Or God says, just be sensible, you know, think about what you're going to do. Any one of those reasons work well for not throwing the frying pan. To be pure, to be free from contaminants. Don't be polluted by the things of the world. Don't love the things of this world. And to be kind. Kind is doing or saying what is in the best interest, the best eternal interest of other people. Kind isn't just nice. Keep that in mind. Nice is just saying whatever you want to say to appease the other person and make yourself look good. Kind is using your words to make an impact, doing, saying what's good for their eternal well-being. To be kind. And last one, being subject to their own husbands. What does that mean? That means to be under the authority of their husband. There's headship in the family. The husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the man, 1 Corinthians 11. So why, ladies, older and younger, should you live out these characteristics? So that, last line there, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. If you're claiming to be a godly lady, this is the way godly ladies should behave themselves. And some of those may kind of, you might struggle with them, but let me say this. Those are beautiful, distinguishable marks of godly ladies when you live those characteristics out. Thank you, moms, for setting the example in those qualities. You are having an impact on other people. I do want to take a minute, though, to talk about the different roles of men and women. We hear the word being subject to their husband. The word submissiveness comes up. And I understand, totally understand, that the world completely rejects the idea of a lady being submissive to her husband. I totally understand they reject any different roles at all or any differences between men and women, frankly, quite period. But let's be honest with ourselves. There are some of us even here and the church itself struggles with some of those concepts, and it chafes against many of us as well. And so I want to go, why? You know, why do we struggle with that idea of submissiveness? Maybe just because it seems like a negative statement. But is it? And so here's a question. Since when does different have to mean inequality? Why does different have to mean inequality? Hear me out on this. Men and women are both created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1. Both created in the image of God. Both have equal access to and are equally heirs of God through Christ. Galatians chapter 3. Both are equally loved by God. John 3:16. Both are equally important roles, but are different. You probably tracked with me all the way through there going, yep, equal. Come to the word different, and you go, nope, no longer equal. But that's not what the Bible's saying. It's just they're equal, but they are different. I think we just hear that word and we just can't help but compare things. And so I struggled long and hard to find a illustration that that could demonstrate being different but equal. You ladies will appreciate the fact that I understand this about you. Okay, I don't agree, maybe, but I understand this about you in this illustration. All right, so picture your shoe closet. Or your shoe boxes or racks or shoe rooms or whatever they may be. Picture your shoes. Come on. I don't have all day, though. Hurry up. You got walking shoes, running shoes, right? Shoes with heels, shoes that are flat, open-toed, closed-toed, flips and flops and buckles and straps. And it's filled. I know. So picture all those and now kind of mentally sort them into two categories. I know it's hard, but just kind of put them all. Maybe you got two giant boxes. maybe you got two racks. Just separate them into two piles. Love you, honey. Now you got them in the two piles. Throw one pile away. No, you'll probably say, I can't. I can't do that. Why? Because both groups are equally important, but they serve different roles. That makes sense? Same as with men and women. Both are equally important, both are equally valued, both are equally created in the image of God, but they serve different roles. Let me go a little further. I probably should quit with just that right there. You know, I got you on my side, but I'm going to keep digging. Having different roles is not the result of the curse. Let me say that. God created us with different roles from the beginning. The curse is that we're no longer going to be satisfied with or will abuse the role that we're created for, the role that we're created to fulfill. That's not the beginning of different roles. The curse isn't the beginning of different roles. The curse is just simply the beginning of our dissatisfaction with the role God has created us for. So we were created for different roles. When sin entered the world, wives would no longer be satisfied with the helper role. Husbands would no longer want to rule in a way that was best for his wife. And that's why the Bible tells us in Colossians 3, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Sorry, I lost my spot. Don't be harsh with them. A little conviction there, maybe. I'm not sure. So the point is, when you don't, if you get nothing else from me, you'll get honesty. When you don't fulfill, listen to this, though. When you don't want to fulfill your role, the role that God has designed you for, you are not hearing from the Spirit of God. You are hearing from your own sinful nature. All right? Enough on roles. But I had to go through that because point number three, moms, I didn't want this to be a negative point. I wanted this to be a beautiful point, and I hope you understand the equality in value, but the different roles. Point number three, moms fulfill their God-given role for the benefit of others. They fulfill their God-given role for the benefit of others. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, and let me give you a little bit of the context leading up to that. The context, again, not picking on the ladies, there's a lot of different groups here that need to be submitting to different groups, and this is what chapter 2 talks about. Chapter 2 calls us to be submitting ourselves to the governing authorities, and he answers why: to silence the foolish talk of ignorant people. Slaves are to be submitting themselves to their masters, or employees are to be submitting themselves to their employers. Why? Because if you do what's right and suffer for it, it's commendable before God. Jesus submitted himself into the hands of his enemies. Why? So he could bear our sins on his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 3, in your handout. In the same way, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Why? So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Jump down to verse number 7 real fast. I'll come back to that. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers will not be hindered. We're designed to carry out different roles for very specific reasons, and incredible good takes place when we fulfill that role, and incredible harm takes place when we do not fulfill that role. So back up to the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1. To win their husband over by their behavior. If any of them are disobedient to the word, that's often described as lost people. So believing wives, if you have a husband who is an unbeliever and you want to win him over, your greatest desire would be for him to trust Christ. How do you do that? Let them see who you are on the inside. Let them watch your behavior as they observe that respectful behavior as you fulfill your God-given role. He's gonna notice something different. He's gonna go, wow, that's different. And eventually gonna have that opportunity to share with them. That could also be anyone disobedient. I'll use me as a bad example. If I'm just being a jerky husband to my wife and I'm not honoring her as the way that I should, she has two choices. She can fight fire with fire, right? She can be jerky back, which probably isn't going to lead to anything good at all other than just a little argument. Or what can she do? She can be quiet, and by her behavior, I'm going to recognize something about my own behavior. And that's true, by the way, in our marriage. When I start messing up and I observe her respectful behavior towards me, I immediately start to think, uh-oh, I'm wrong, because she's conscious of God and the Word of God and doing what she's supposed to be doing, and that makes me realize that I'm not. That I'm missing it. That I'm being jerky. So you don't have to argue. You don't have to fight. Let your actions speak for you. One real fast example. There was a lady at a previous church a dozen years ago, a very godly lady, and her husband, for whatever reason, was mad at God, and she would occasionally come in a little bit late, or occasionally would miss, and eventually she was telling the story that her husband would sometimes say, no, you can't go to church. You can't go tonight. And so she would say, okay. And she would sit down or do something else. And eventually, usually, her husband would come back, oh, no, go ahead. You can go to church. She didn't say a word. Or sometimes she would say, okay, I won't go. I would just like to ask that you pray about that and see if that's the right thing for you to tell me to do. And then that was it. And then he would often come back, okay, go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead and go. Now, he probably didn't want to talk to God, and so he probably didn't pray about it, but he just, he realized that she was right by her behavior. Didn't cause a fuss, didn't holler, didn't yell, just simply was obedient, was submissive to her head, and made an impact on his life. All right, a little further, I'm running out of time quickly, a little further in that passage, yeah, but you might say submission, you know, you're still opposing me. You were with me all the way up to the shoe illustration, and now you're just beating a dead horse. You know, submission, I'm still not, that's just not an attractive quality. You know, that doesn't look good on me. The color looks like a color red or something. I just don't wear that. It doesn't look good. Verse 3, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Those are all perishable qualities. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Wives, do you want your husbands to see you as beautiful? Let them see your gentle and quiet spirit. Single ladies, you want to attract a godly man? Attract them with your quiet and gentle spirit. It's of great value to God, and therefore it's going to be of great value to any godly people. You say, well, I'm afraid that might not work. Okay, there's an illustration in the passage for that as well. Verse 5. Got all the bases covered here. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. So don't be afraid. Trust God. Trust God's word. Of course, I'm not talking about illegal or immoral stuff here or the abusive stuff. I'm not talking about that at all. Just in general, trust God's word. Trust that he's going to work in you and through you and have a great effect on your husbands. So thank you, ladies. That might not sound like an appreciation or accommodation, but thank you, ladies, for setting, for speaking for the benefit of others. Thank you for setting the example for the benefit of others. And thank you for fulfilling your role for the benefit of others. Your behavior will impact your spouse. Number 4, moms suffer for the benefit of others. Moms suffer for the benefit of others. My goal here is not to explain this next passage or the next few passages. It's just simply to make the case that moms are great examples of what's going on in these passages. Let me draw your attention, verse 24 of Colossians 1. Now I rejoice in my suffering, circle the word, for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share, on behalf of his body. Look down at verse 25. You see that phrase again, for your benefit. I was made a minister according to the stewardship of God bestowed upon me for your benefit. Now, there's a lot of things in that passage I don't want to take the time to explain right now. We're studying Colossians in our life group. If you want to be a part of that, come join us, and we'll love to talk about them. The point was, as I was preparing that passage for life group, the whole passage is about, you know, Paul's in prison, and he's willing to take abuse, he's willing to suffer, he's willing to do whatever it takes for the benefit of other people. And I'm going, man, I need an illustration of that. I need something real, something concrete. And the best I came up with is I was going, moms do that. Moms do that all the time. Moms are more than willing to suffer for the benefit of other people. And lots of times, because why? Because they're speaking truth, because they're fulfilling their role, they're setting godly examples. How many moms or grandmas in this room don't get to see their kids or their grandkids very often because their witnessing is unwelcomed? Or how many people are kind of cut off from some family members because they're living in a godly way and they're speaking words, kind words for their eternal benefit, and they just don't want to hear it, and so they don't come around. There's a few around. That's a lot. That's not imprisonment like Paul's imprisoned, but there's a barrier there. I mean, you know, it's not bricks and bars and chains. But there's something on the inside that's painful. You know, that's hurtful when we're willing to suffer in that way. And what about even just on the physical side of suffering? Childbirth. I'm not even going to claim to know anything about that. But I do know Genesis chapter 3, what God said to Eve, said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. With pain, you're going to bring forth children. And I can probably speak for probably most men. If we had to bear that pain, there'd probably be a lot less people on this planet, right? A lot more countryside and a lot less houses, because we just don't need that many. So moms are willing to suffer in that way as well. How many moms have said to you, or have you said to your children, if they're sick, anything from colds to cancer? How many moms have said, oh, If I could take that for you, I would. If I could suffer in your place, I'd do that for you. They do it all the time. I recall that. Break a leg, break an arm. Oh, I'd trade you arms if I could. I'd do it. Moms are just willing to suffer for the benefit of other people. So I just simply want to say thank you, Mom. Thank you, moms, for your willingness to suffer. Number five, moms sacrifice for the benefit of others. Or moms, I didn't really have the right word I wanted here. Moms do without for the benefit of others. Or moms set their own agenda aside for the benefit of others. Whatever word you want to place there, it's hard coming up with one word. But the passage is going to be Philippians chapter 2. And let me just read this and see if this doesn't sound like a mom to you. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. Sounds like a mom. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Moms do that all the time. It's always about the other person. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That's a great example of a mom. And if I could, I don't want to give the give it away completely because I don't want to embarrass her or have other people noticing, because I know she doesn't do this for her well-being. But Miss Eloise, you don't know this, but we do something. We do the same things at a certain event, and you don't know us, but I do it. This is hard because I don't want to say what it is. I do it because I know I'm supposed to, and I want to set a good example. But I watch you do it, and I think you do it because you genuinely care about the other people. And I'm just really impressed with that, and you have made an impact in me in that particular area. So I'm not going to divulge what it is, just know that I notice, and thank you. I'll talk with you later if you really want to know. But I appreciate you doing without for the benefit of other people. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped or something to be held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in an appearance as man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So this emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, at least I think it means this: God the Son set aside his glorious splendid, his high position, however you want to describe this, his position of honor. He set aside his position of honor and humbled himself for the benefit of other people. And if there was a position of mom, you know, whatever that might look like in your brain, if there was this place of great grandeur for your mom, she wouldn't be in it because she'd always be off doing something else, serving other people. She'd be sacrificing for other people. As a mom, how often have you gone without something for the benefit of other people? Or your mom's gone without something, sacrificing for other people, driving you places when you were a kid, buying the things that you needed to have? How many countless hours of sleep did you sacrifice for the well-being of your kids? When you were sick, or your kids are sick, who's up with the sick kids when they're throwing up in the bathroom, and the daughter's going, hold my hair so it doesn't get in all the garbage? It wasn't me, I promise you that, because then there'd be two people throwing up in the bathroom. All right, sleepless nights, you know, praying for the kids. It's just amazing what moms do. So I just simply want to say thank you, moms, for your sacrifice for the benefit of other people, or your doing without for the benefit of other people. Last one, real fast, number 6. Moms pray for the benefit of other people. And I apologize, I don't have the full passage written down on your handout there. I've kind of got the setup written down, but I forgot the prayer itself, which is really what I want to focus on. So it's in Matthew 6, verse 9. I'm sure you know it, but the point that I want to make is how we're taught to pray is not in a selfish way. Verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6 says, when you pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's the number one goal? We want to set up God apart as holy. He's the one we're focused on. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's probably the growth of the kingdom, but also we're excited about his return. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Deliver us from evil. It's nothing about me. This is what me. And there's nothing selfish about the way we're taught to pray, and there's nothing selfish about the way moms pray for other people. There's a ladies group that meets here on a regular basis, and I appreciate them so much. They simply get together, don't make a big fuss about anything, and they got this big long prayer list for other people, and they pray through it. My own grandmother was a great lady of prayer. I found her to be impressive on many levels. One of the things that always impressed me was she could remember all her grandkids' names and birthdays, and there was 30 some of them. And then there was, I think there's 100 and some great grandkids nowadays. And when she was alive, I think there was 80 some. I don't remember. She could tell you their names, who they belonged to, and a lot of their birthdays. Even, you know, she knew it. She knew who they were. And I got to think, and I found that really impressive. But I'm thinking, you know, why did she know that? Probably because she spent a lot of time praying for him. That's my guess. I don't know that for sure, but pretty sure she did. So thank you, moms, for praying for the benefit of other people. I'm going to stop there. Father, we give you thanks for your incredible love for us. Thank you for the example that you have set for us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice for us, that you would willingly give up your position, that you would come to this planet, that you would live a perfect life, that you would be willing to die on a cross, be punished in our sins, in our place. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for that promise of forgiveness. Thank you for that gift of eternity with you for anyone who will repent and trust you as Lord and Savior. Give you thanks so much for our wives, for our moms, for our grandmas, for the great grandmas, for their incredible influence in our lives. Pray that you would truly bless each and every one of them, that you would give them incredible joy this day, whatever hardship or pain they may be suffering through on this day, that you would just grant them an incredible peace, an incredible joy from being united with you. And Father, if there's any of them here that don't know you, that this would be the day that they say yes to you, that they would trust you as Lord and as Savior. Thank you so much for the time to spend looking at your word. May your word, Father, have an impact in the hearts of the people. Nothing that I say, only your words, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing a quick song. If we can be of any assistance to you in any way, please come on down. Stand, if you would, please.
Do Revelation song again, just the first verse, and then do a chorus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Right to the chorus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for worshiping with us. Life groups for all ages following about 15 minutes. Happy Mother's Day to you all.